you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show. Anna DeBlance is off today. Justin Kaufman is in today.
Thanks for having me.
That's
good to see you.
Adjust your scorecards. Thank you very much, JK. And you got your Violetta with her new haircut.
Present.
And oh, yeah. That looks nice.
Thank you.
And you got you could watch her on the CLTV right now if you wanted to. She poofs her hair like Laura Petrie. And then you got to the Kevin Powell. Who is standing by with the sports? Of course, Judy is watching this story in the newsroom at YouTube headquarters in California. There are reports of an active shooter there. We'll get you details as soon as those become available.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Well, we have just a little bit more.
Yes.
Two people may have been shot, and the suspect may be a female.
Okay. And we do we know if it's an ongoing situation still?
I believe it is.
Okay. All right. Okay. And the other things that are coming up on the program here, we've got Ben Bradley is going to talk to us about this, the fake weed case. There's been arrests made there in Chicago where people are getting poisoned with synthetic marijuana. I don't even understand what that is. Do you understand what that is?
Yeah, well, no.
Careful how you answer this question.
Yeah, I mean, what I understand is that it's the chemical that's used is a rat poison. So whatever it was.
Weed comes in all forms now. It's like oils.
Is
like
that what
wax
it was?
Stuff? I don't know for sure what this was, but like marijuana is advanced these days.
Yes.
I go back to right away. I go to the images of like the late 90s where you just go into and the drug dealer with the skateboard, you know, and he's like, hey, sit down, man. Let's watch this tape. I don't want to watch anything, man. I don't know.
Cool tie-dyed shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Have you met my my girlfriend Jenny? Hey, how you doing? You know, I'm good. I'm in the wrong place.
Okay.
If I could just jump in here because I am the drug czar. It's my beat.
Oh, sure.
It is not marijuana. It is when they say fake weed, cannabinoid. It's not marijuana. It's a fake.
You're getting high off toxins, basically.
It's a chemical. Yeah, I mean, it could be grass. It could be marijuana, I guess, but it's not the marijuana plant that you grow and cultivate.
And it doesn't come up, I think, on test results. If you test for marijuana use, it does not come up. So it's like getting high off
paint. It kills you, though.
Well,
it makes you bleed internally until you die, right?
So does other things that you might smell to get high off of.
Well, and that might be the rat chemical they use.
Is Violetta defending this?
No, I'm not defending it, but that's what I'm saying. It's
you may bleed to death, but there are certain benefits.
No, people get high with other toxins as well.
But Judy's right, that there has been some misinformation in the idea that this is
right. People think it's marijuana, that it's fake marijuana, but it's not marijuana. It's a bad name, and it's not like, I know people are accusing the media of doing it. No, that's what they call it.
Right.
Cannabinoid. It just means it mimics, it might look like it, or they might package it like that, but it's not, has nothing to do with actual marijuana.
Okay.
It's a fake chemical product.
Okay.
That will, of course, kill you sooner or later, or make your eyes, ears, and nose bleed.
Ew. I've got that.
Well, but
do
that's
I have that?
Be... That 56
said,
people.
What's the highlight,
56
guys?
People went to the hospital with that
terrible.
Bleeding in their eyes, ears, and nose.
That's too much to.
Oh, and mouth. I forgot mouth too.
Too much of an investment.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't
in
know.
Case you want to try drugs off the streets, where they will cut it with anything,
as opposed to getting drugs the old-fashioned way from your mailroom guy.
A well-trusted drug dealer,
right? A guy that you know who's already in the building every day. All right. I don't know. We'll have Ben will explain it because they've got they're on top of this thing. And then does the president get to send the military to the border as he said he was going to do today to stop this caravan? Is he going to open fire with a tank on these Guatemalans who are trying to come across, or Hondurans? Right. They're Hondurans, actually, I believe, that are seeking asylum.
Yeah, that's it's kind of strange, because if that were the case, I don't know much about drone technology, but just seems like that would
be good. Drone, that's a very good idea, Justin.
But I mean, this idea, this almost maybe still smarting over the military parade concept, and you know, not going through the way he wanted any plans. So maybe he wants.
Well, it is going to go through though. There is going to be a military parade.
As big and as grandiose as
there will be tanks. Wanted. He's not getting tanks.
So maybe he wants to do it down there. Maybe
would you put a tank down there?
It's closer to Mar-a-Lago.
I suppose.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's the way that that goes. All right, so all of that coming your way. All right, let's. You know what we're going to do here right now? Judy, tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. And hold on, Ben.
Hello.
Can you explain the fake weed story to us? Because the kids, Judy kind of has it right, but the kids screwed it all up for us because I think they were trying to get into the business.
Are you talking about the Blue Giant, the Crazy Monkey, the Matrix K2, as the kids call it on the streets?
Yes, I'm talking all about right. that. What is that item?
So it's essentially a synthetic marijuana that gets mixed in with some pretty bad stuff. In a case that the feds announced just yesterday, they think some of this synthetic marijuana was being laced with a chemical that's found in rat poison. And, you know, just as concerning, according to the federal indictment, which I read through, the guys who were selling it at a Lawndale Mini Mart, the King Mart, knew that there was stuff in there. The federal indictment quotes one of the store employees saying to an undercover, "I don't have the good stuff right now. All I got is garbage." And then in another conversation, the store clerk talks about learning that some of the customers had been complaining about falling ill. And this is such a significant growing issue that just in the last couple of days, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported one person died in Chicago, another died in central Illinois, and more than 50 people have become sick from using this synthetic marijuana.
Hmm. Wow. And is this inhaled? How are they? Do we know the answer to these questions?
You know, that's a good question. And I think a lot of times it can vary by drug, by user, because as you know all too well, as people continue to develop addictions and the cravings, they go for the quicker high, the more powerful high. And that often will dictate how they want to ingest it. You know, obviously marijuana can be smoked, but there are other ways to do it. And that's been a big issue. We saw this in the streets of Chicago with heroin several years ago. And that is, there was a couple of incredibly dangerous batches of heroin that were out on the streets of Chicago. And people knew about it. They knew it. And they were still taking it. That's how much they craved that high.
Wow.
And they were dying from that heroin. And now they're dying from this synthetic marijuana.
And a lot of has been made. Hi, Ben. A lot has been made about what the name of this is, synthetic marijuana. It makes people think that it's something that is in the marijuana family, that possibly is close to something that they might use, and they're worried about it. But this is really, we're talking about a different type of drug and a different type of class.
You might be more of an expert on that than I am. Yeah, I mean, it's in the, you know, it's labeled as a cannabinoid. And so
whatever that means, right?
Cannabis, yes.
Yeah.
All drugs are dangerous, and even more so when you begin to lace it to make it more powerful, to make the high stronger. And that's what people were doing here with chemicals found in rat poison. Just think about that. That people oftentimes are at such a point in their lives where they need to do the next thing to get them the next high.
Mm. Wow. All right, what's coming up on the WGN-TV News tonight?
Well, so those three that were charged in this federal complaint for selling and supplying the synthetic marijuana at this Chicago Mini Mart, they were in court today. Really some interesting stuff in the charging documents. One of the guys was found to have $280,000 in cash on him. $280,000 in a paper bag and like a box of some sort when law enforcement approached him. So we're covering that. Our Tanya Francisco is down in Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Motel, where Chicagoans are arriving to be part of the commemoration ceremonies of the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. We've got that story, plus one other thing I know you're talking about. I believe one of you on Twitter beautifully stated it, and that is our Chicago weather sucks. So we will have an update on the forecast.
It does. Yeah.
Wordsmiths, are at the Rokon Show.
Thank you very much. Mr. Skilling is going to join us after 4 o'clock to discuss it with us as well.
If you get him to use the word sucks, I'll give you $20.
Okay. You're on. Justin, remember, we got to get him to say sucks.
All right. Rhymes
we'll split
with
it.
Ducks, right.
Yeah. As you come to think of it, don't bait Skilling. I got to work with him all night. Don't get him all worked up.
Because you know I'll throw you under the bus.
Oh, totally.
Totally on the way to that.
I know how that works.
Yeah. All right, Ben.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good to be with you guys.
All right, Ben Bradley right there. Now, I gotta say that it didn't help me, because I'm so out of the drug culture now. Mm-hmm. I never was in it. I never liked the alcohol. Oh, sure, I enjoyed the alcohol.
Right.
Just like the rest of the kids. But I could never get into the pot. It made me kind of crazy.
The devil's lettuce?
Yeah.
This is something, just as they said, and this is something they keep calling it synthetic. It's not the right, it's essentially like Judy had said, it's just toxins that you inhale. As Ben said as well, it's a step up from the pot. So it's not, it shouldn't even be, we, for whatever reason, because...
But it has a cannabinoid, cannabis molecule in it, and that's right. The issue. And that's like the basis of it, but then they're tricking it up with all this other stuff that's making you bleed out of your eyeballs.
Right. Yeah, these kids, Tide Pods, synthetic marijuana, what's next?
And when you start, let me tell you something, this is the worst condoms. Marketing ever is, our product will make you bleed out of your eyeballs. Yeah. It's like every pharmaceutical ad that tells you about the 4-hour erection and all the rest of the things that you could be worried about, if they said to you in that Z-copy, plus bleeding out the eyeballs has been reported. That's the one where you go, well, I don't care what it does for me. I'm not doing that.
773 says it's the rat poison part of it. The chemical, it's
like strychnine or something.
Warfarin. That's what they say. But it affects the blood clotting. And then there's too
much. Well, warfarin you can get on that. I see those commercials on CNN.
If it's too much, it'll cause the bleeding. So
well, that's what it does for rats. Yeah. It makes the rats bleed out.
Yeah.
That same chemical. So
right. So strychnine is the base chemical of that. That's what they, you know, that's what they've been using forever and ever.
And I don't want to speak for you guys, but when I see a rat bleed out, I'm like, that looks like it'd be a fun recreational high.
God,
jeez.
What has happened? Why is it? Why so dark? I think it's the weather. I think the weather has thrown us off.
It's terrible. It's a terrible thing that's happening, and obviously people are dying from it, but 56 people, I think what's surprising to me is just the fact that there are so many people that are using it.
Well, and when you're going to the, did you say the King Mart? Is that what they said?
My ignorance. Here's the problem I have, Ro. I have so many questions that I feel like people are like, duh, but because I'm like you outside of the drug culture. Mm-hmm. But what do you mean it's in the King Mart? You go behind the counter and ask a guy, hey, you got that stuff? Is it on the
Kev,
shelf?
How do you do that? When you go to your happening? When you go to your drug dealer, how do you do? What happens?
I can't speak of that on the radio.
Just
confidential.
Right. I think you do. I think the guy, you walk in and you say to the guy, you know, hey.
Sup, dude.
Yeah, sup. You holding? I don't know. What you say anymore.
I think people just text now.
Stripes. Yeah, I think, right, there's texting, right? Yeah. And then and you walk in and you go, Johnny sent me. Or, you know, something like that.
Well, you knock three times on the door, and you have a specific handshake.
Is it illegal? I mean, is the stuff? I mean, because the synthetic, is it against the law? Can they
put
it on the shelf?
Yes, it is.
That kind of stuff? Okay, that's thank you, Judy.
Again and again, just so we're clear, synthetic marijuana has nothing. It's not marijuana. It's a synthetic. So it mimics properties in marijuana, but it is not from the actual marijuana plant.
And it's restricted. It's illegal, and it's not on a shelf.
Yes,
in the King Mart.
I think it might be on shelves in some places. I really do, but it's illegal.
Okay. By the way, that's she was reading a prepared statement from the Pot Dealers of America right there. Don't confuse our fine product with theirs.
That's right. When you need the real thing, go to
You know what you do? You go to a doctor who wears a Hawaiian shirt. He's going to write you a prescription. Yeah. You're going to go over to one of these, you know, like THC or one of those other places in and around Chicago. And you walk in, you go into a showroom that looks like, you know, a 21st century head shop. You know, you walk around and they show you oils and a gum and a gummy bear, and there's a dancing gummy bear. And then if you want to go back, if you're old school and you want to smoke it and you want to get a bong, they got those. They got the mini bong that vibrates too, so it's like 2-in-1. I don't know. They got the whole thing going. So you can just go and do whatever you want to go do. That's what you want to do. I was out with a couple of friends of mine, contemporaries of mine. Hmm. Who are like, dude, have you tried the gummy bears? And like 3 weeks ago, they were like, oh, excuse me, should we have some tea? And now that they found the gummy bears, they're like,
They reinvented themselves?
Yeah. I went to a dinner party with them, and they're like, yeah, you drive.
Lawyers in suits are now wearing flip-flops and tie-dye shirts.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a crazy thing. It was like, what? What happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that.
Dude, it's like a body high.
Man. Yeah, yeah, no, it's got it in my muscles.
So chill, man.
Then why are you talking like that?
Hilarious. My tongue's relaxed.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, it's a mindset,
so
bro.
So very good. Hold on, I'm hearing myself vibrate in my head. Hold on. Am I making sense?
You want to eat some Tide Pods, dude?
All right. This is what's wrong with the kids. This is exactly what Donald Trump said. But first,
you're inclined to pull the troops out?
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing, nothing out of it. Nothing.
That's the President of the United States today. Earlier, he was in front of the cameras and microphones a number of times today, including he was meeting with Baltic representatives, the heads of the Baltic, three Baltic nations, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. And they all met with the press, and the president responded to questions. And that is one of the questions that he responded to today, which is about whether he wants to get out of Syria or not, because he said he wanted to get out of Syria in that speech last week. But then you hear from the Pentagon, they're like, we were just planning on a bigger party. And he's canceling. What are they talking about? Philip Bump is with the Washington Post and can help us try to understand this. Do we get a sense of where this is really heading, or was the president just sort of speaking off the cuff to that crowd and looking for an applause line?
Well, I think there's a couple of competing issues at play here. I think that President Trump legitimately wants to bring the troops home, in part because he has always sort of advocated for getting in and getting out. He was critical, for example, of having troops in Iraq, and he wanted to get the troops out of Iraq at one point during the campaign. But then at the same time, he tries to have his cake and eat it, too. And he's been critical of President Obama for having withdrawn troops from Iraq too soon. And so we sort of saw that play out over the course of the past couple of days, with Trump today in particular saying both that we need to stay in Syria and help make sure that we completely eradicate the Islamic State, but at the same time that he wants to bring the troops home as soon as possible. So it's not really clear what his actual goal here is, although we do know that he has had some conversations with Mattis and the Pentagon about potentially bringing troops home.
But there was reporting that the Pentagon was really actually in a plan to expand the operations in the northern part of Syria.
That's exactly right. So, again, I mean, one of the things that's sort of fascinating about Trump's cabinet is that Secretary of Defense James Mattis is one of the few people who sort of has free rein and has been able to operate without President Trump breathing down his neck to the extent that he has some other folks. And so it seems pretty clear that Mattis, and working at one point with National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, has a different sense of what needs to be done in Syria than does the president. The Pentagon has explored this option of potentially actually taking an increase of troops, but it's not clear that that's actually what Trump wants to see.
Okay, I've got a question for you, and hopefully you can help me understand this, Philip. Earlier today, the president tweeted, and he tweeted about Cheatin' Obama.
Sure.
Cheatin' Obama. Do we know what he's referring to there?
That's a great question, and
thank
no.
You.
I legitimately have no idea. I saw that as well. I mean, the context for it didn't even really make it clear either. I mean, you know, look, he likes to nicknames. He likes to sort of disparage people. I honestly have no idea what that means.
Okay, good. Now, I guess nobody does.
That was the best interpretation all day of what we think that means. We just don't know.
We just don't know. Yeah. I mean, imagine even the Obamas are like, what is he talking about?
Right.
Did you think? And then they're probably playing a little game right now, thinking, all right, what do you think in his own head we were cheating on? And I mean, for a guy who, you know, is sort of now famously branded a cheater, this is you go with a different one, you know. There's got to be something else that either rhymes with or is alliterative with
boring,
Obama.
Boring
Obama. Yeah. As he was, you should call him and give him that. All right, that's. I guess the other piece of this too, and this is the thing that's making all of these headlines here, is we're awaiting news on what might be an active shooter situation at the YouTube headquarters in right outside San Francisco. There is a question that the president raised today about sending the military to the southern border to, and it sounded like he wanted to deal with this so-called caravan that is heading here, these 1,000, 1,500 Central Americans who are working their way through Mexico. It's a protest march, and they were planning to get to the U.S. border and try to, some of them were going to ask for some sort of, you know, that they were coming from places in which they need some form of political asylum. But and others were just, you know, going to said they were going to sneak into the country, and the president's going to send the military down there. That's not easily done, is it?
Yeah, I mean, so there are pretty strict rules about how the military can operate in the United States for fairly obvious reasons. The military is not allowed to act as a law enforcement agency, essentially. But that said, past presidents have sent military officials, the National Guard in particular, to the border to help bolster the civilian defenses, which is to say the Border Patrol. So it certainly is the case that they have sent National Guard troops. You know, think about if there's a big riot in the city and the National Guard comes out and helps the police restore order. It's sort of the same idea. President Obama sent some troops down there. George W. Bush sent troops through the National Guard there as well. So there certainly is a role to be played. But what President Trump has indicated, I mean, look, President Trump says things, and then we spend hours and hours trying to evaluate what he actually means, and then we hear, you know, some slightly scaled-back version once it actually is released right by the administration. So we're waiting for that scaled-back version of what it is exactly.
They're already there. I mean, to your point, Philip, they're already there. The United States, the Air National Guards from states around this nation and Army National Guard troops have been doing training and surveillance, reconnaissance, intelligence missions on the border for, again, as you point out, more than a decade. And so this is a way for them to do recurrent training if you're in the Guard, to go down, and especially with these flight assets that the Air National Guards are using. And you got Air National Guard units from as far north as Wisconsin that go down to the border in Mexico, and they do, you know, they fly drug interdiction missions and other kinds of, you know, human smuggling missions and things like that. I mean, that has already been there. But this idea of we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It sounds to me it's like one of those things he wants to throw something out there so the Mexican government goes, wait, what? Is he amassing troops? And then we're told, and I'm interested, as the Washington Post have this reporting within the last 2 hours, that Mexico has called the State Department for clarification.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. I honestly don't know if the Post has independently confirmed that, but I saw those reports as well. And all of that is accurate. But, I mean, again, I think that the question here is, we saw Donald Trump a week or two ago say that he wants to build the entire wall on the Mexican border by having the military pay for it, right? It is pretty clear that President Trump's sense of what the military should be doing on the border is more expansive, I think, than A, what is already going on there, and B, most people's interpretations of what is appropriate or legal for them to do. So your point is well taken, and it is certainly the case that National Guard troops have been sent to the border in the past, but it's not clear what, if President Trump were able to enact whatever the vision is in his head, what that vision actually looks like. And so, you know, to some extent, to the point I was just making, we sit here and we try and assess, well, of course there's posse comitatus, and you can't just have the military go down and act as cops on the border and so on and so forth. And we move down this pathway when we should have learned the lesson by now that we just sort of have to wait and see what the administration itself actually means as opposed to what the president says.
Well, Philip, a lot of tweets to this story, also a lot, of course, today in the press conference. What is it? Is it the caravan coming from Central America that is grabbing the attention of the president and also some of the news channels in the way that this issue, the issue of border security, has popped up as the main story in the first week of April?
It's a great question, and I think that the best indicators that we have are that over the course of Easter weekend, there's a great report from CNN, which Sean Hannity, the Fox News host, came down and had dinner with Trump on, I believe it was Thursday evening or Friday evening. Jeanine Pirro, another Fox News host, came and met with him on Saturday. He spent a decent amount of time actually watching Fox News over the course of the weekend, saw these reports about the caravan, and it seems as though, according to CNN, both Pirro and Hannity said to Trump, hey, you need to make immigration a bigger deal for the midterm elections. And so I think that it was probably a combination of having heard that from people he trusts, having watched on Fox News these reports about the caravans, that he started to amp up this rhetoric. We know that he was very responsive to what happened on Fox News. We've seen ample evidence of that in the past. So I think it's a fair assumption at this point as well.
Yeah. And one more thing, too, right before I let you go, Philip, and we appreciate your time. Today he talked about when he was meeting with the Baltic leaders, he was talking about how he'd like to have a good relationship with Vladimir Putin. He goes, I don't know if I will, but I would like to, you know, it'd be good if we got along with Russia. That'd be good. And only stupid people think the other way. Right. And he said that only stupid people don't think that.
Right.
I watched the body language of the Baltic leaders who are scared poopless of Vladimir Putin. Because that's their, you know, those Baltic nations, those three nations were just once again independent from the Soviet Union and from Russian intervention for the first time in close to 100 years in the 1990s. And then before that, they'd been overrun by the Russians. So this had been these are very distinct cultures. These are very distinct nations. They're very, in some cases, very distinct languages. They think that Putin's trying to, you know, using the soft tactics of the internet and all the rest of that, do the same thing there that he's done here or in Ukraine. So why would he say that in front of those people? I don't want you to answer that question. That's rhetorical.
Right, I was going to say. It is certainly the case that particularly after what the world saw happen in 2014 when essentially Russia annexed something that it thought was theirs that belonged to another country, that being Crimea, that at that point in time, the Baltic states were they were already concerned, but were pretty freaked by what they were seeing. And while President Obama earned a lot of criticism, much of it justified for having a fairly
tepid.
He wasn't a forceful actor on the world
tepid
stage.
Tepid response, yes. I would say that's accurate.
Right. But there was never any real question that he and the United States would uphold the commitments of NATO, right? And that, you know, the Article 5 of NATO says that if one NATO member is attacked, that the rest of NATO will step up and then rise to their defense. And it was certainly the case that, you know, one of the reasons that the Baltics joined NATO was to help offset that threat from Russia, which at the time was not as great as it is now, right? And so I think it is certainly the case. There are all sorts of questions about how Donald Trump interacts with Russia, but I think fundamentally the most alarming thing for those states in particular is Donald Trump's wishy-washiness on NATO and constant critiques of NATO, well beyond trying to be friends with Vladimir.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Philip. Thank you for your time.
Of course, thank you.
Philip Bump from the national correspondent from the Washington Post. Right now, here's Violetta Powder-Medic. Well, before Violetta, let's find out from Judy what's happening at the top of the hour. Pro-Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. She is off today. Justin Kaufman is in today for Anna, and Tom Skilling joins us right now.
Hello, Ro. Hi, Justin.
Tom.
Tom is brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Justin, isn't that? I have a sponsor.
I know. He walks around like they're real proud.
Finally, I know. Yeah. Finally, I feel like things are coming together for you, Tom.
It's I know. Things never have worked out for Tom. And
I know.
This is really an opportunity.
50 years in this business, and I have a sponsor now.
Yeah,
this
look at that.
How about that?
Tom, you know, when you settle up with a professional like myself.
That's it, bro.
That's the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know how to make things work.
Yep,
that's
I do.
Sure.
I got people. I got a boom, 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 boom. Here's what we're doing. I bring sponsors with me.
Yeah, that's
we'll travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in the promotional announcement today, which apparently, you know, won a promy or something because it was so everybody was asking me about it today. They go, what time is Tom going to be on so he can tell us what day spring is actually going to start? And I'm like, I didn't really mean it like that because you can't actually do that. But You can, because you're Tom Skilling, and you got all those computers and that whiz-bang stuff that we watch all night.
You know what? It's really amazing. This has been... We've had two 60-degree days to date. We'd had 12 a year ago. So it's really amazing what a difference a year makes, and that's way below normal. And the temperatures we're talking about right on through the middle of next week look pretty cool. There's one break that we see that could get us a little warmer later next week. But we might have some snow, later Sunday, if not Monday and Tuesday of next week. And we've got snow tonight coming, and some snow or a mix Thursday afternoon and part of Thursday night. So this is a pretty chilly pattern. It's a high latitude blocking. There's a blocking up in the Arctic that it kind of pushes that cold air mass down on us, and it just sits here. That's the problem with blocking patterns. That means the atmosphere slows down. And
what do we do about this blocking? Is there something we could do?
Here we were just ready to cover
their device. What do we do?
We were ready to put a tarp over Lake Michigan to get rid of the lake breeze. That might have helped. And then this blocking developed. I don't have an easy solution for that one.
As easy as the tarp was. Yeah.
No.
I know. That was going to work out.
That was far more manageable, you know?
So do you think, I know that long range projections don't really pan out, but the blocking, but these kinds of things, you do get a sense of when they can move, right?
Yeah. You oftentimes see signals. I was looking out to 16 days. We get a series of temperature departure forecasts in for each day, but then we average it over 5 days. So we have 5 day increments out to 15 days ahead. Mm-hmm. Every one of them shows a below normal regime holding in here, except for perhaps that brief interruption later next week. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of models that poke us up close to 60 for a brief period late next week. So we'll see if that works out. But until then, it looks pretty chilly. Wish I had better news, but that is the way it looks. You know. Yeah.
All right. Well, then I need your help with this.
Yes.
Because
how we're going to treat you for the depression?
Yeah. Well, I'm working on that. I had to turn my light back on today.
Did you?
That's how bad it was.
Justin, you've got the chemotherapy over there, close by.
Yeah. He's got a dart gun, which I think is very helpful. They're ready, in just in case anything. Ow!
Oh, boy, that hurt just listening to that.
Don't do it, yeah.
You know, we have dart guns over here, but they normally aim them at pictures of me hung on the wall. You know, Bill Snyder does that. So, yeah, that's what it sounds like over here, yeah.
Well, yeah. I have a question, Tom. Just, April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah.
That's the old vibe. So this isn't that surprising to have this rain in the forecast and these cold temperatures. Because, frankly, that's what we expect of April. How normal is it to have a wet month of April?
April is very schizophrenic. One moment it can be cold. You've got a little bit of everything. Nearly every April, in fact, every April on the books back to 1871 has produced a 70 before it's all over, and the same thing is true of 60-degree temperatures. So you got to believe at some point we're going to break out of this, otherwise we're going to break new ground on cold air for this month.
I used to date a girl named April, and you're right, she was schizophrenic. That's what I told her. There's no way out downtown specifically.
Yeah.
April is always a tough month.
I know, because the lake's cold.
Right, and you just can't get out from under it. But my question is very specific to my own needs here, and that is Thursday is opening day for the White Sox. We're going to be out there, and there's a question about whether they're going to be able to get that game in, or because we're going to be there for the pregame show with John Williams.
Yes.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, and we're going to be at Cork and Kerry.
Well, here's the deal on Thursday, Ro. We'll start with some sunshine, so it won't be a total loss, but it'll cloud over, and it does look like there's a little disturbance coming in with some wet snow or a mix, mid or late afternoon and into the evening sometimes. So,
as we call baseball weather.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Justin, think about it. There's some truth to that. It's funny because Jerry Reinsdorf one time, I was up there on Weather Day, White Sox Weather Day, and he said to me, why is it that we're chilly here and up in Minneapolis they aren't? He said, is it the lake? And I said, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you're right about that. You identified that, Ro, in what you just said.
Yeah.
The prevailing wind, March, April, May, and even the first part of June here, is easterly. The rest of the year, it's south-southwest. And if you look around us, the prevailing wind over most of the Midwest would be southwesterly over the course of a year.
I got a better plan. You know, we were thinking about tarping the lake. We don't have to go that far. We just put up a gigantic tarp that just covers, so we don't see the lake, and the wind goes right over our heads.
Like it's an idea. How about a dome over the whole city?
Yeah, well, I've said the dome. Now, dome might be too expensive, but if we get a big tarp, and we just kind of, you know, we get big enough poles, and we just run it all the way from, I don't know, where at the North Shore, they could pay for it themselves. If we run it all the way from, like, I don't know,
how about
Howard,
the Northwest University campus right down to Governor's State?
George Lucas would have skipped the art museum and went for a dome over Chicago. More support for that.
Yeah, I think that's totally true.
630's got a question for you, Tom. When you're talking about blocking patterns,
yes.
Interesting. Why don't they ever set up in other places besides Arctic areas?
Oh, they do.
Is it possible they could set up over Chicago? That it would make sustained nice weather?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you can have blocking patterns that lock us into beautiful weather. It just happens, you know, picture it like a game of musical chairs. And you know how when the music stops, everybody kind of sits down? Well, the same thing is true of the atmosphere. It's moving along like a set of musical chairs, and all of a sudden, boom, a block will develop, and it's effectively a point at which everybody sits down. And if you're stuck in the rain at that point, then you're going to stay stuck in the rain for a bit. On the other hand, if you get in nice weather, you're stuck in that. Look, the folks out in California and in the Southwest have been stuck in that beautiful weather you talk about, and that's been part of the problem out there. They've had that terrible drought.
Oh, it's a
situation.
I hate looking at like the nice things happening in other parts of the country. There's nothing worse. Although yesterday I was so happy and heartened to see snow on the ground in New York. They were showing stuff in Central Park, and I'm like, yeah. You take that, New York City!
And another thing, Ro, I drove down, I gave a talk to the some students at the University of Illinois yesterday down in Champaign, so I drove down there, and you started hitting snow on the ground about central Illinois, and it was interesting. I was watching the car thermometer. We were in the low 40s up here, and about the time I got down to south of Kankakee, in Ashcombe and areas like that, the temperatures dropped into the 30s.
Yeah.
I always always watch my mouth.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yes.
And so what happened? It's a crazy situation where you got these bands, right? We have not had all the crazy snow precipitation that they've gotten around.
No,
us.
No, that's true.
That depending on how you look at it, I consider it to be fairly lucky that we haven't had all that around here that screws up the traffic. It's, you know, it's one thing if you're out in, you know, it's a kind of a beautiful piece of land somewhere and it snows. Okay, that's fine. But in the city, we don't need it. It doesn't help. It doesn't help you get to work or get to shopping. It's bad for the economy. You know, you want the snow, maybe a little nice little dusting around Christmas, and that's it. Move along, people.
You know,
nothing else to say here.
And if it's so true. And if you stand back, draw a diagonal line from Montana right down to eastern Texas. West of that line, they're warmer than normal. That covers most of the West, the Rockies, areas like that. East of it is cool. If you look even broader at a global basis, there's cold air over Canada and the eastern half of North America, and the rest of the planet. Europe's in a warm spell now, so's much of Northern Africa and much of the Eurasia continent. That includes over into Siberia and areas like that. So, and the Arctic region, north of this air mass, is above normal. That's what sets up the blocking. And so it's one of the ironies is they warm up, you get these weird jet stream patterns that kind of locks the weather in place, these so-called blocking patterns, and they're driven by the warmth up north.
Okay, well, then I don't know what we're going to do about this.
There was
no easy solution. You say that. This is the time of year where I start to, where I forgive you for saying, when's it going to be warm, and you go in May or June or whatever it is you say to me. And I forgive you for that because I figured, well, it's right around the corner, and I don't get a sense of right around the corner at this moment.
No.
Because it's ugly. And what I just see, are we talking about snow flurries tonight?
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about dusting to an inch from the south suburbs into the city. Okay. And as you get up into the northern counties that abut the Wisconsin line and north, 1 to 3 inches may occur in parts of McHenry, Lake counties, up by the Wisconsin line, and even a little more than that as you go north. This system produced about 10 inches of snow in the Black Hills in the last 24 hours. And
that's another part of the problem. There's a snowpack up there, right?
Yeah.
And that's blowing at us, too.
Well, that's the thing. When you trap cold air over the area, then you impede the spring melt. of the snow. And so you've got snow.
All right.
Pretty generous quantities.
What if we just take a bunch of de-icer up there and start spreading it around?
Yeah.
Start getting rid of the snow. Whatever. Can we do that? Like with those snow spray, you know, that like pellet spreader thing?
Yeah.
Or just a blowtorch or something.
Just a bunch of salt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a story that's run today that I guess the Chinese they put all these silver iodide producers.
Like rain receding the clouds?
Yeah, and they're putting them up in the Tibetan mountains, and they claim, and of course they've always exaggerated their claims about how they can control the weather, much like the Soviets used to do. But they're claiming this is boosting rainfall there by an incredible amount. And that remains to be seen, but that's the claim. So, look, if they can claim that, let's come up with something that warms it up. You know, we can do it too.
I think we're going to start claiming that. We're like 1 minute away from acting like the rest of those places.
<I know. laughs>
I think he's going to actually roll out like a big thing. Yeah. You know, remember, like he takes out like a stakes or or a bill. We figure out it's just a bunch of blank paper. He's going to take out like a movie set, like a computer thing. This is my weather maker. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it snow all over the
Department
place.
Weather. Sure. And I believe the first secretary should be Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Right? Yeah.
Please.
There you go.
And then save the country. Spare the country. That
I'm trying to spare the country.
Please.
And we'll be asking for your resignation. There'll be a lot goes into that.
Yeah. You don't last very long on these jobs out there.
No,
you know.
No,
so I like being right here in Action Weather. Right.
Hey,
where I'm sponsored every afternoon on Rokon Show.
But
you know
what's nice though is that here's what you get. You get to fly private though in those jobs for a very short period of time.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, you do get some wonderful travel.
You get some great travel.
Until somebody looks at the receipts.
Right. And maybe, you know what? You could go down to the Mint and maybe we could make a $100 like pantsuit for you or whatever, like a leisure suit.
What a cover story I could develop. I'm down in the tropics doing hurricane research, in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And, getting ready for next hurricane season.
Exactly. We got all kinds of things we could do for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you very much.
Guys,
appreciate
good to
it.
Talk
we
to
will,
you.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk
I know.
To you tomorrow.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we got to talk about this because on Thursday is the 70th anniversary, 70 of WGN-TV.
Isn't that something?
Awesome. And
I know.
You're hosting a special on that.
Yeah. Actually, everybody has contributed here. And it's Steve Novak is the genius, our director, who's put this together. He's also president of NADIS. It's now President Steve, the National Association of
Television Arts and Sciences.
Yeah, right.
He's the actual national president?
No, he's the Chicago chapter president.
All right.
But we call him President Steve, and he's the guy who has worked so hard with our production staff in putting this together. But it's going to be quite a show. There's quite a story to tell here, and everybody is participating. We have the morning show folks, our sports guys, so it's going to be a good show.
Since he's the president of NADIS, those are the people who give out the Emmys.
Emmys, yeah.
I need to talk to him about a thing or two.
Yeah.
I need to. You know what? Like, the last couple of years, I can't sniff a nomination. And all of a sudden, you know, some guy in Milwaukee gets my nomination. And I'm like, you know what?
You know what, I can tell you, he is as honest as the snow is white, you know?
No. I need the fix. I'm from Chicago, Tom. I believe the fix.
Gotcha. Yeah. You're the master negotiator here, are you?
How do you think I got you a sponsor? I believe in the fix.
Well, that's good. I'm a believer now that you've done that for me. So thank you. You made my career complete.
Yeah. That's the thing I did.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to walk into Gibson's tonight. Yep. I made Tom Skilling's career.
I know.
Fake smoke a cigarette when I walk in there.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, we've got to run, but thank you so much.
Go ahead.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Justin, good to talk to you.
And
you guys have fun.
Thank you. You
too.
Bye,
guys.
All right. There he goes. Great Tom Skilling. Right now, we've got Judy Pollack telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news.
Make the most of life after 50 with Prime Expo, the premier event for active adults on April 14th. Learn more at PrimeExpoChicago.com.
And now, the Rokon Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokon.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. It is another edition of News or Ruse, and we are very pleased and very proud to have with us for this News or Ruse, Brendan Waters. He is one of the co-founders of Kings and Convicts Brewing Company up in beautiful, I think. People didn't used to call it beautiful, but I think it's beautiful. Highwood, Illinois. Now it's beautiful. Back in the day, it was, It was a place where you went, and you went to have a nice meal, whether it was Italian or Mexican. They did great, and then you stood next to a missile on a flatbed truck, and you went to a bar, and you got thrown through the window of it. That's how you lived in Highwood. Now it's all
afternoon, right?
It's fancy people, these fancy restaurants, and they got this brewing company now, Kings and Convicts, which is started by an Australian guy and a British guy. So it's the Kings and the Convicts, of course, from Australia. Is that how that works?
That's the way it works. Yeah. You got the British, so you got the nice side, and then you got the Australians, we're the rough nuts.
Now you're the rough nuts, but you're far more fun than the British, I've found. You're more in the spirit of the Americans. The Americans, we just didn't go to prison enough. We will. Trust me. The way we're acting, we will. But
yeah, we're trying to catch up quick.
Yeah, but you got it right here. All right, so this, and you are doing a thing for charity here, right? That's one of the reasons that we've asked you to be in here. You're doing a special brew, Stew's Brew?
Stew's Brew.
Right, and we can get this at Binny's and other places.
So Binny's is probably we've got 145 cases of it. 70 have already gone, so it's probably going to mostly be out of our tap room and a couple of different retail outlets.
Yep.
But Binny's has got our other stuff, but this stuff I just don't think we're going to have enough for them, unfortunately.
And it's a Weiss beer.
It is a Weiss.
A Hefeweiss.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And so it's for Dr. Stuart Gold, named in honor of Dr. Stuart Goldman, who is one of the pediatric brain tumor specialists at Lurie Children's.
Wow.
And he is a great guy, and he is a personal friend of ours. He looked after my son when he had a brain tumor, and we actually started a foundation to raise money and awareness so that we could help fund research, and so that those funds go to Dr. Stuart at Lurie Children's. And so,
what's the name of your foundation?
It's called Benny's World.
Benny's World.
So
right.
Benny passed away back in 2010, but he was looked after by Dr. Stew, and he loved Dr. Stew. And so you can see with the can design, Benny always used to say he'd love to have a beer and fish with Dr. Stew. And we've got all the – and so the designers got hold of this and saw all the drawings that he used to do. And then Dr. Stew helped us pick the brew.
That's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that, and obviously our condolences.
But yeah, thanks,
what a great way to make to turn that tragedy into some help for some other people.
Right.
So, all right. So Stew's Brew, and you can go to Binny's or to other fine retailers, but you got to look for it here from Kings and Convicts Brewing Company, and I had a sip for testing purposes only.
Right. Right.
And it is quite great. I mean, quite great.
Some say sip, some say gulp. But it's testing.
I might have shotgunned this thing. I might have, but I did it for testing purposes only. And this is a 16-ouncer, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a 16-ounce. Yeah, that's your third one.
Yep.
And you can take it out of the brown bag.
What? That makes it no fun while I'm here at work. All right, we got to play News or Ruse.
All right, let's do it.
Are you ready, Brendan, to play this game?
Already.
All right, I hope so. Well, you get to listen in for just a second to see how it's played.
Done.
And then we just go with this. All right, here we go. Let's meet our contestants. We've got Christine playing with Kevin. We've got George playing with Violetta, and Tom is playing with Brendan. Christine, are you there?
I am.
All right,
how are you?
Let's do it, Christine.
Here's what you're playing for. A pair of tickets to Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo, April 21st and 22nd at Plumbers Hall in Chicago's West Loop. Artisan chocolates and foods and demos and wine and food pairings, and it's just, you don't want to miss this.
That's news.
Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo.com. Plus, a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, and all the runners-up get that as well. All right, here we go. Right. Here is your headline, Christine and Kevin. Louisiana family uses an alligator for baby's gender reveal.
That's news, Christine. Oh. Book it.
Absolutely, I saw it as well.
Yep.
Boom.
All right.
Informed.
Couldn't get past them.
The informed are playing here. All right, so up next, George. George is playing with Violetta. George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, you ready? Violetta, you ready?
As ready as I'm going
to
be.
All right, this is the team. I have a good feeling about this team. You ready to go? Here's your headline. Steve from Blue's Clues wants to fight John Cena for hosting job. Steve from Blue's Clues wants to fight John Cena for hosting
job. I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah.
We just got a letter.
What do you think?
You want to say news?
I say ruse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go with you.
George, yeah. Tough. Yeah. I mean, that sounds fake.
All right, here we go. No, Tom, you there?
Real. Yes.
All right, Tom and Brendan, you're playing with the perfect guy here. This man is not only a genius, he was an entrepreneur, very successful entrepreneur, and now he's got a very successful beer company. You want to be friends with Brendan. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. Here's your headline.
Absolutely.
Florida College moves How to Spot a Meth Lab seminar to larger venue after overwhelming interest.
Oh, I would say news.
I think you got to be right, mate. That's got to be news.
We wrote that just to trick people. Damn it.
Florida's always the tricky one.
I know. This man's doing God's work right here by creating a beer for great causes, and I want to just give him
you
a win.
You almost want to give it.
I just want to give
him a win, but
yeah.
That's not how the game is
all right,
played.
Christine and Kevin, here's
Christine
your headline.
Christine and Kevin, you ready? Here we go. McDonald's workers quitting in droves over complicated technology, new menu items.
I'm going to say news, Christine.
All right, I'm going to go with you. News.
News?
Wow!
Hey, they got it.
Wow!
Hey, thank you.
All right.
They don't like the new technology.
You know what? Somebody's got to get one right here. Otherwise, this game is over. All right, here we go. George and Violetta, Wyoming Department of Natural Resources to discontinue program aimed at reducing accidental Bigfoot shootings.
What do you think, Violetta?
I don't know. What do you think? Let's go.
I gotta say news.
Ruse. Let's go ruse.
Okay, fine.
Oh, that could have gone south.
Buzzer beater.
That was south.
She took the lead. That was a risk.
Yep. Tom
right,
and Brendan.
Here we go. You ready? Cow urine to be promoted as health drink in Indian province.
Well, I'd promote it here too, but what do you think, Tom?
Well, the cow is the sacred animal, so I would think...
It sounds like news to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Right, news?
Yes.
They're back at it! Woo!
Christine, right. Let's finish them off.
All right, hold on. We'll get to the Orion Samuelson round,
okay.
The third round, coming up. But first, Judy's going to get us up to date here on what's happening in the WGN newsroom for the top of the hour. All right. News or Ruse continues right here. Oh, it's a very tight game. It's very exciting.
It's close.
We have, I think, one of our more fun News or Ruse contestants or special guests that we've ever had on this program. I would like to say that right now without fear of contradiction, because what Brendan Waters has done is a pretty amazing story. They have built, he was a very successful entrepreneur. You had a family tragedy with your son passing away from a brain tumor. And you subsequently got involved in a small business as a side business, a brewery up in Highwood. And now it's become so successful. You're doing that. And you've built for this season, a Weiss beer, which of course is very great for spring and summer drinking, right?
Yep.
And the money goes to this pediatric brain cancer research doctor here in Chicago who's working on all these, that's working to help kids like your son.
That's exactly right. Out of Lurie Children's. And he's quite a character himself. And so the kids all love him. He just happens to be one of the great pediatric brain tumor doctors, but he's a better man. He's a great fella, and he doesn't mind having a beer and having a laugh, and that's why the kids loved him.
Stew's Brew is the name of the beer, and it's available right now at Binny's, also Sunset Supermarket. Kings and Convicts is the name of the, because it's a right. British guy and an Australian guy, and of course the king is from Britain and the convict is from Australia. We knew that was coming, and that's where you
and
go
the,
ahead.
The tap room is in Highwood.
And the tap room's in Highwood.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I love that town. All right. Let's continue on with News or Ruse. Here's the situation. We've got Christine playing with Kevin. They have a commanding lead of two correct.
No big deal.
Now, George and Violetta have one right, and Tom and Brendan have one right.
This is going down to the wire.
So now we go to George and Violetta. This is to stay alive.
Wow.
George and Violetta, here is Orion Samuelson with your headline.
Hundreds of pounds of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, part of bribery charges for Massachusetts state senator.
News or Ruse, quickly.
What do you think?
I'm going to say news.
Me too, news.
Oh, you stay alive!
Of course it's news.
All right, Tom and Brendan, here is your headline.
Record-holding cats still missing in Farmington Hills. $100,000 reward up for grabs.
What do you reckon, Tom? I love a good cat story.
Go Cats!
I need an answer here.
You go for it, Tom. It's all up to you, mate. I've been drinking too much.
I would think Ruse, because the $100,000 just seems a bit much.
I agree.
He's overthinking it, and he's like, oh.
They had a good run.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Good run.
Brendan,
okay.
You stay right here. I got one more plug for the beer coming. All right, here we go. Christine and Kevin, this is for the win.
For the pair of tickets.
This is for the pair of tickets. This is where...
This is the big one, Christine.
To the Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. That is coming up April 21st and 22nd at Plumbers Hall in Chicago's West Loop. Are you ready? Here is your headline.
Online digital collectors investing millions on imaginary cats.
News or Roots?
I'm going to go news, Christine. Your thoughts?
I don't know. That's a tough one. Actually, I'm going to go Ruse.
Okay, we'll go Ruse.
Oh, you should have gone with Kevin and I back. Oh, no, it's all tied up. All
right.
Here is your next headline. This goes to Christine and Kevin. You stay in it right here. Spaniard raised by wolves, disappointed with human life.
I'm going to go Ruse here.
I'm going with you, Ruse.
Oh, no, that's not correct. All right, Georgia Violetti Castillo right here.
Man allowed back to Canadian hotel 17 years after seagulls wrecked his room.
Yes, news.
News.
No, it's unbelievable. That should not have happened. Oh, my gosh. All right, everybody hold on.
That was amazing.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's very stressful.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Easy peasy for us.
Yeah. if that were only the case. All right. I am so sorry, Brendan, that you had to be here for this.
I don't know where you're getting this news from. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, we're making
good
up a lot of it.
Right?
All right. Kings and Convicts Brewing Company. And you look for their product. It's absolutely amazing. Made right here in Highwood, Illinois. And it's available at Binney's and Sunset and where other fine craft brews are sold, and congratulations on the success of this. And the tap room is up in Highwood, right there by the train tracks, right?
Yep, that's it.
What's the address?
523 Bank Lane.
523 Bank Lane in Highwood. All right. Thank you very much. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Got a smart speaker? Just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Judah Padlock has the news, brought to you by AppleChevy.com. Joe, Anna DeBlantis off today. Mr. Justin Kaufman is in.
Proud to sit in this chair.
Thank you so much for being here.
No, thanks for having me.
And we got White Sox baseball coming your way. And then are you on after that?
No, I'm off tonight because I'm filling in for Steve Cochran in the morning.
Oh, I knew that.
I'm the utility player. I'm the Yolmer Sanchez of the
sixth man off the bench.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the guy who can play third base and right field.
You're Vincenzo DiVincenzo. What was that kid's name last night?
Yeah, DiVincenzo out of nowhere.
Yeah.
31
yeah.
points off the bench.
Yep. I would gladly be that kid.
Oh.
Yeah, little, there's some fallout there, though, today.
What do you do today?
People were digging up old tweets.
Always
yeah.
going to
take Yeah, I've seen it literally 1,000 times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
College kid, too. You automatically could tell.
Is it Me Too or racist? Which one is it?
Racist.
Racist.
Rap lyrics. Oh. Rap lyrics involving a certain word.
Is he trying to be like a rapper? Is he trying to be cool?
He was quoting lyrics of a rap song.
I don't know
in
about
HD.
That. I'll let that pass.
Yeah, it's tough to, but whatever.
If
you're anticipating 15 minutes of fame, this is just a caution. Just delete all your social media. Right. People will find something on it at some point.
Right. Oh, God.
So 15 minutes of fame strikes for you out there. Delete all your social
media. That's the first thing I think. Anytime a guy comes in off the bench, there's a three and he got it. You're like, nah, that guy's got bad tweets.
Remember that time when he was 14, the tweets they were digging up from 7 years
that
ago.
That guy when he was 9 years old was tweeting up a storm, had no filter.
Hey, let me tell you something. When I was 45, I was tweeting some stuff I shouldn't have been tweeting.
Right.
I was made aware of that recently.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything like that. It was just pictures that, you know, I was living a life.
Those will get you the pictures.
Classic pictures. Classic.
Who is that you're with? I don't know.
Oh, God.
That was my answer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about something else.
It is kind of weird when people don't delete. Like, if I, forget it. Like, moving forward, I'm going to make sure there's no social media stuff of me with
other people.
Past relationships. Yeah. Just get it off the way.
Yeah, that's what you... Yeah, I mean, that's what they...
Because then you know, like, if you start dating someone and she finds that, you're done. Oh. She's going to be furious.
Oh, my God, you have no idea.
Who is she?
Let me explain.
Oh, the girl from five years ago?
Oh.
Do you still like her?
Why, if you love her so much, why don't you marry her?
Why don't you get? Why are you keeping her up there if you're not trying to get her back? Yeah,
you miss her?
No, I hear you. All right, I gotta go. Get out of here.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I'm too old to have this conversation, by the way.
No, what happens next is then you delete the photo, and then Facebook tells you that you tells everybody you deleted the photo.
that's what I said. Anyway, you know what? This is not. We got to go. Right, here we go. Checking in at
number five.
New York's top lawyer says the Trump administration decision to put a question regarding citizenship status on the 2020 census questionnaire directly targets his state. Mm. At a press conference this morning, Attorney General Eric Schneiderman announced a lawsuit aiming to block the move. He says the Article 1 of the Constitution requires a fair and accurate count of all people living in the United States, not just U.S. citizens, to be conducted every 10 years. So he says that the Trump administration is out to destroy a bipartisan tradition.
One of our claims in our lawsuit is that you cannot undermine a clear constitutional mandate. You cannot impose burdens on people that would interfere with a clear constitutional obligation. I'm joining with 18 attorneys general, six cities, and with the bipartisan U.S. Conference of Mayors, representing Republican and Democrats in red states and blue states, to block the Trump administration from adding this dangerous and damaging question to the census.
When you get a an applause line on Coalition of Mayors, you've made it.
Right. That tells you how messed up we are if all of a sudden the Coalition of Mayors
Wow.
You mean people talking to each other? Well, I mean, the issue here for big cities, I mean, I know that Trump wants to play the bug tussle here, but the reality is for big cities, it's a bit of a nightmare because a lot of social services are going to be impacted by this because you're going to have actual legitimate people not want to take part. U.S. citizens not want to take part in this, thinking that INS is going to be kicking in their door. You already have people refusing to go out on the street.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think it should be on the census. I think they should have an open-ended question that just says, how do you like it? That's it. How do you like it? After all of the how much you weigh, Caucasian, African-American, other, as they put on the census, then the last one should be an open-ended essay question. How do you like it?
Take your time with it.
Up to interpretation.
Here's a blue book.
Yeah.
No more than three pages.
Number four.
With reporters gathered at a luncheon President Donald Trump held with Baltic state leaders, the president took questions from the press and weighed in on a number of subjects that have dominated the news cycle. One of those topics that El Jefe riffed on, was... his relationship and the United States relationship with Russia and Vladimir Putin.
Ideally, we want to be able to get along with Russia. Getting along with Russia is a good thing, not a bad thing. Now, maybe we will and maybe we won't. And probably nobody's been tougher to Russia than Donald Trump. If you take a look at our military strength now, which would not have happened had the opponent won. If you take a look at the oil and gas that we're producing now. We're independent. We're now exporting oil and gas. This is not something that Russia wanted. If you, the three presidents just told me that NATO has taken in a tremendous amount of money because of Donald Trump, that would have never happened. So NATO is much stronger.
Okay. All right. If I could just go down that list for a couple of fact checks. First of all, NATO does not take in money. That is not how that works. The NATO commitment by the nations is to fund their own military, of those countries, not to fund NATO. That's the first piece of that. The second piece is the United States has been an oil exporter forever. We didn't just start exporting. We have been a net exporter starting in the Obama administration, the cheating Obama administration, as he would call it. And it was a bit, we were a net exporter for years and years and years before that. But then, obviously, from the 70s on, we became a net importer. Now we are a net exporter again. So, yes, that is all well.
Wow, that's a lot. Good. That's good intel. You got good stuff.
And another piece that needs to be addressed is that the military is no different today than it was a year ago. The budget just went into place. Now,
is he making a correlation to say that I made the military stronger and that's because of Russia? Is that what he's making in this statement? Is that what he's trying to say?
No, he's making the military stronger because he wants the...
I know why, is that what he's trying to say in this statement where he says, no one's been tougher than Donald Trump, third person, which I love. But he's like, then he says, you know, the military's stronger than it's ever been. Okay. It does not. I also am a little annoyed because that clip got cut off before he told us how he won the Electoral College. Did he do that in this speech?
No, well, he does. He does actually do this, though.
No, he does not.
Because of me, and you can speak to the head of NATO, Mr. Stoltenberg, he said that because of what I've said to the countries, they've taken in general, I think you'll confirm this too, many billions of dollars more than they would have had if you had crooked Hillary Clinton as president. Okay, that I can tell you.
There it is. That's what I was looking for. That's what it was. I thought it was lying, Hillary, but he's now back to crooked.
Once again, Hillary. NATO's not taking the money in. You can ask General Stoltenberg, and you know what General Stoltenberg will say? I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not sure this is even my own accent, but I would tell you, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, okay.
All right. This is the problem.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
This is my only criticism here is that you can't just make stuff up. It's not the right thing for the American president to just make up facts or gloss over things or rework them so they fit this. I mean, he does it every single day. People are mad about cheating Obama.
This is a luncheon that he is in front of Baltic leaders and international press.
Right.
And he used crooked Hillary as if they gave a...
Yeah, I know.
A care.
But the issue here is that he cannot consistently make stuff up. People were mad about the Obama thing when he said, you can keep your own doctor, right? They go, well, he lied too. All right, give me the top five lies of Barack Obama. And most people could come up with three. And if four would be Kenya. I was born in...
Birth certificate?
Yeah. But, I mean, things that are real. I've got five in just that last soundbite.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing. He can make the point without making stuff up, I think. All right, we'll get to your 3 year 2-1, but first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom?
There's Chicago in the Real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10.
Here we go. Top 5-5 continues checking in at
number 3.
The Masters.
He's
tease
back
off on Thursday. This is highly anticipated. Jim Nantz called the most highly anticipated golf tournament in years.
Okay.
Big international field. People playing really well. Tiger Woods is back.
I really hope I'm playing my best golf. This is a tournament, I think, that where experience does help a lot. I mean, I have played here and I've won here, not playing my absolute best. But there's got to be a certain part of my game that's on. This tournament really helps with having the experience and really understanding how to play this particular golf course. And I've played well over the years. I've won here a few times. But all those years that I've won, one part of my game has certainly stood out.
All right. It's going to be very exciting. The numbers are always up when he's on the course.
Is that what this is about?
Yes.
I mean, he really doesn't. He's doing better than
he's doing better.
But
yeah.
Everyone's gone. Last night I watched SportsCenter. I'm like, get to the baseball.
Back to back top five finishes.
Yeah. I think he's going to be in it. And he ate up this course 20 years ago. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
Linda Carter, who played Wonder Woman on TV in the 1970s, has gotten a star on the Walk of Fame. It seems a little late.
Yeah. This is a backlog.
She is the 2,632nd star on the Walk of Fame.
Wow.
But it's important because it turns out that she actually was on the Walk of Fame with the director of this year, last year's Wonder Woman, Patty Jenkins, and so the whole thing made some sense.
Mm. Patty, you and I connected from the first time that we spoke. You got the character of Wonder Woman. I knew that from the moment we talked. Your being here means so much to me. Your brilliant work directing Wonder Woman and making her new again, making Wonder Woman a global hit, yeah, makes this journey here complete.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing at all like the Wonder Woman from the 1970s, yeah, and this Wonder Woman, the movie.
Maybe she's getting the star not for her work on Wonder Woman, but for being the villain in Super Troopers.
Maybe that's
possible.
It.
I'm just saying, I don't know Hollywood as well as you guys do, but possible. That movie also 10 years old, but still.
She was a bit of a fantasy crush of a pubescent Rokan. I would say that.
You said it.
Number one.
I'll be hearing from that about that as well. All right. During his monologue last night, Seth Meyers joked about a meeting that is now alleged to have occurred between a Trump campaign official and a Russian businessman with ties to Putin.
According to the Financial Times, the Russian businessman who secretly met with a Trump campaign official in January 2017 has been tied directly to Vladimir Putin. Hey, Robert Mueller, how much more evidence do you need? I'm starting to feel like a little kid screaming at Dora the Explorer that the windmill she's looking for is right behind her. Turn around!
There's that's going to be the new, I guarantee, April, May, June, you're going to get a lot more late night talk show hosts going in that direction. Like, Mueller, what do you got? Show us your cards.
Yeah, I think it's, and I get that these things take a long time. That's what they always say, and they do. I mean, you see these federal cases take years to build, but I think that the political clock is ticking here.
Hey, this is a reality television world now. You got to be quick.
Yep.
You got 10 episodes at best, Robert Mueller.
Justice be damned.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to look at it this way. What would Donald Trump do in a situation like that? That's what you have to ask yourself. How would he prosecute this?
Stormy Daniels is on 60 Minutes. I'm out, Mueller. I'm out. It took too long.
All right. That's it. Well, let's close this thing up, shall we? Okay. Thank you, Ro.
The top five at five.